Hi, I'm Peggy O'Neill, home economist and host of the weekly podcast, Food for the Future. Every Saturday, I share optimistic stories from farmers and agri-food innovators so our human family can find the way forward together. Food for the Future inspires local creativity for global change, and it's all made possible by my Platinum Elite sponsor, Burnbrae Farms, Eggs for Life. You can find Food for the Future wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice to have you along with us in the morning sunshine. Just a beautiful day in store for us all. And as Aaron mentioned moments ago, a terrific week ahead. Today's UV rating will be high. So wherever your travels and plans take you, take along plenty of sunscreen and apply generously. We have been watching the situation in Russia astonishedly for days. And we are delighted this morning to welcome Orel Braun to the program. Professor Braun teaches political science and international relations at the University of Toronto. He's also an associate at Harvard University's Davis Center, and he's the author of a piece in the Globe and Mail recently, The Wagner Mutiny Shows Putin's War Isn't Just a Tragedy for Ukraine, It's a Disaster for Russia. Professor Orel Braun, good morning, sir, and welcome.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. It's a very fluid situation as the whole world has watched jaw-dropping activities take place in Russia. Your headline in the Globe the other day, sir, the Wagner Mutiny shows Putin's war isn't just a tragedy for Ukraine, it's a disaster for Russia. And we'll dive into the whys and wherefores in just a second, Professor Braun. But what do you understand the situation to be with Mr. Prigozhin and the Wagner Group this weekend?
The Wagner Group now is supposed to be submerged within the Russian military. And so we have to see what happens to the various branches of the Wagner Group, because you have the Wagner Group that had been fighting in Ukraine. Some had moved over to Russia. Some of the Wagner Group forces are likely to follow Mr. Prigozhin to Belarus and go into exile.
Right.
But we also have Wagner forces in Africa. They have been engaged heavily there in places like Mali, the Central African Republic, as well as Sudan. And they have been supporting the government under the guise that they are fighting various insurgents, including ISIS type of insurgents. But the reality is that these mercenaries have engaged in widespread looting. They have benefited from the trade in gold and invaluable materials, and they generated a great deal of money. Mm-hmm. So we will have to see whether these forces will have some autonomy left or whether they will also be brought fully under the Russian government, which is what the Kremlin has said that they intend to do.
So now it's interesting. The world has been watching all of this, and some people have referred to it as an insurrection. Others have called it a rebellion. You chose the word mutiny, Professor Braun. Why?
That is the immediate kind of effect when there is an armed type of rebellion where supposedly you are part of the same cause. Even though this was a private army, they were receiving money from the government of Russia. Apparently, in the past 12 months, the government invested $1 billion in the Wagner Group. And yet, what Mr. Prigozhin did was he moved his forces from Ukraine into Russia, and then he demanded that the two top officials in the defense establishment, the Minister of Defense, Mr. Shoigu, and the Chief of the General Staff, General Gerasimov, should be handed over to him.
Right.
By any standards, that, I would say, is a mutiny, and normally it is dealt with very harshly. And when you look at the speech that was made by Mr. Putin initially on Saturday, he said that this was a betrayal, it was a stab in the back, and that this was treason.
So now you say in your article in the Globe, Oral, that the significance of Mr. Putin's concession, because he didn't order them all to be executed and rounded up and that sort of thing, so that you say the significance of that may be best understood through the lens of the Sopranos TV shows or the Godfather saga rather than Clausewitz or Machiavelli. Why mob boss rather than the prince?
When we look closely how this government is run, then, you know, social science tools and history and political theory are just inadequate. Yes, there are shades of it, but it doesn't really tell the story because this is a personalist regime. There's no party. There is no stable institutional framework. It ultimately it is all decided by Mr. Putin, and he can go any which way he wants to. He would set one faction against the other and then be the ultimate arbiter. So the closest analogy would be that to organized crime. Mm-hmm. And even though they may use the rationale of nationalism and so on, sometimes I think we overly dignify this kind of rule by attributing to it the kind of normal social science analysis. And it doesn't really get us to how this regime behaves. And this is why I think it is important to understand that in such a situation, the kind of concession that Mr. Putin had to make, he didn't do it voluntarily. He had to make it because these forces were closing in on Moscow and the Russian military was not stopping them. They tried in some cases and the Wagner Group shot down something like 6 helicopters and including a command aircraft.
Right.
And so I think there was a fair amount of panic, very likely, in Moscow that the Wagner forces traveled several hundred kilometers, came within 200 kilometers of Moscow. Making that kind of concession, if you look at this as an organized team syndicate, has very long-term negative implications that would not apply if you just looked at normal rule and you use Machiavelli or Clausewitz or just standard decision-making theory.
Interesting stuff. Now, I wanted to ask you about Mr. Prigozhin. He's effectively tucked away, we think, in Belarus, the deal brokered by Putin's protege, Mr. Lukashenko. How benign is the Wagner Group in Belarus, or are they simply regrouping to create more trouble? What's your take on that?
It is early, and we simply don't know. And we can try to guess whether this would be a case where the Wagner Group can be conjured in some kind of form and possibly even pose a threat to neighboring states.
Right.
Certainly, the countries in the region are very concerned by this. And given the history of Russia and of conspiracies, I think prudence would tell them that it is the right thing to do to be cautious and to make sure they are prepared for any type of contingency. But I think it is highly unlikely that Lukashenko, who, as you rightly pointed out, is dependent on Vladimir Putin, I doubt that Lukashenko could have stayed in power following those massive demonstrations in the wake of fraudulent elections had it not been for the financial and military and psychological support that Vladimir Putin gave Lukashenko, that Lukashenko would allow the reconstitution of some kind of large, significant military group within Belarus that could operate independently.
Final question to you, Professor Brown, and we're grateful for your time on a Sunday morning. Sir, you mentioned China and a very uneven relationship, recently renewed relationship between China and Russia, in which you declare Russia is quite likely on its way to becoming a Chinese vassal state. Explain that, if you would, for a few moments, please.
If you look at the history between the Soviet Union and China, Tsarist Russia and China, and then the current relationship with China, there was always a kind of unease on the part of Russia and a tremendous amount of historical resentment on the part of China.
Right.
China had lost territories in Siberia and elsewhere due to what the Chinese call uneven treaties. Russia has always been concerned that somehow there would be an attempt to reclaim that, there would be pressure. But during Soviet times, it was the Soviet Union that was the superpower. In Tsarist Russia, it was the superior power. That has shifted and is shifting very rapidly in China's favor. And the Russian establishment has always said, well, they are not going to accept an unequal status. And certainly nominally, the Chinese leadership proclaims that this is a friendship without limits. But the reality is, Russian dependence is growing very rapidly. Well, the Russians are not able to say no to China if the Chinese demand high-tech military equipment. Russia has to give that. They sell energy to China at a tremendous discount because of the kinds of sanctions that have been instituted. And consequently, the dependence of Russia on China is growing significantly by the day. The relationship is not only asymmetrical, but one where China is increasingly able to dictate terms in a way in which any Russian nationalist would be very concerned.
Absolutely fascinating article. I commend you to our listeners. Recently in the Globe and Mail, the Wagner Mutiny shows Putin's war isn't just a tragedy for Ukraine. It's a disaster for Russia, written by our guest, Professor Oral Brown from the University of Toronto. Oral, thanks very much for joining us this week and a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you.
Television has come a long way. It's great when you're in front of the TV when it's time for your favorite show, but what if you're not? It's no big deal, especially with Stack TV. Stack TV is a streaming service that allows you to watch the latest hit shows on your schedule, which of course is whenever you want. You can stream 16 of your favorite channels live and on demand, like Global, Food Network Canada, WHGTV Canada, Cartoon Network, and Adult Swim, plus Slice and Showcase and National Geographic and more. No need for a traditional cable package. Thousands of hours of TV whenever you want. You want to try it out? Listen to this. Stack TV has a special Prime Day deal. This is pretty insane. You get 2 months of Stack TV for 99 cents per month. So yeah, less than a dollar a month. So you can try it out. The regular price is $12.99 a month. So wow. That's 2 months of Stack TV for 99 cents per month, accessible through Amazon Prime Video. You need a Rick and Morty right now? You want a Property Brothers fix? You want to see the new Pete Davidson series, Bupkis? Love that one, by the way. Here is your chance. Again, get Stack TV for only 99 cents per month for 2 months with Amazon Prime Video channels. Sign up now. Stack TV, there's a stream for everyone. Limited time only. Prime membership required. Restrictions apply.